to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We're joined by my colleague and friend at the Center for Security Policy, our senior fellow with responsibilities in the economic warfare space. He is Kevin Freeman, CFA. He is, among other things, the best-selling author of Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack. And prior to that, another bestseller, Secret Weapon, How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Can Happen Again. Kevin is shortly to become the host of Economic War Room with Kevin Freeman on the Blaze Network, and always a welcome guest. Kevin, glad to have you back. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's great to be here, Frank.
You have a story on your blog, globaleconomicwarfare.com, about SWIFT. Remind us what SWIFT is and tell us why it's breaking news as you see it.
Well, SWIFT is the international payments system. It's out of Belgium. It is kind of the linchpin for when you want to send money from one country to another. And it has been subject to U.S. policy. They claim that they're independent, but we've used SWIFT in large part to affect, to monitor, and to control international payments. And so it becomes a tool of economic warfare. Someone's a bad actor, we cut them off from SWIFT, and they can't send money out or get money into their country. And it's a very, very powerful weapon.
And because it's a powerful weapon, others have seen the importance of replacing it as an instrument of American economic warfare. Who are the contenders and what are they up to in that regard, Kevin?
Well, China, with the support of Russia, created CHIPS, which is the China International Payment System, CIPS. And the reason that they did this ostensibly is because, the claim is that they had to because SWIFT seemed to be vulnerable to hacking and other problems. And so they created, but Russia has claimed that the creation of CIPS was primarily to disengage the American control from SWIFT so that they could send payments wherever they wanted to. There could never be sanctions using SWIFT because there was now an alternative.
And to the extent that that alternative is now in place, what might it behoove them to do to undermine the existing SWIFT mechanism and make theirs a more attractive alternative?
Well, now this is where it gets interesting, because there were hackers that hacked and stole some $80 million from a Bangladesh transfer. It was an attempt at a billion-dollar hacking. But they hacked into the SWIFT system. They used Bangladesh codes, and technically they hacked into Bangladesh and then used those codes on SWIFT in order to reroute what turned out to be about $80 million. And it was a major, international bank theft. But what it exposed was the vulnerability of the system to hacking. And here's where it gets really interesting. The NSA apparently has the ability to monitor SWIFT and has been monitoring SWIFT, and NSA tools to do that and possibly hack into SWIFT were released by a group of hackers onto the Internet, now exposing how dangerous it is to transact in SWIFT, and the Chinese immediately jumped on that and as explanation for why they had the alternative. So what that sets up is the idea that China or Russia can hack into SWIFT, make a big deal about how vulnerable it is, and drive the rest of the world to their payment system, which means they would have the big economic weapon of the world.
Yeah, and as a practical matter, should that eventuate, Kevin Freeman, how might it be used as an instrument of economic warfare against the United States itself? Obviously, they'd be taking away an instrument from our kit that we've used to punish bad actors. Would it be conceivable that they could actually shut out the United States from international banking transfers, or would they be doing something that's also damaging, but in smaller increments that might be more practicable.
Well, actually, it's they've stolen our gun, in a sense. If they're able to pull this off, they will have stolen our gun, and they can turn it and use it against us. The idea that they could completely cut the United States off from the global financial community would require more than just control of the transaction network. It would require all of our allies to say we no longer want to do business with America and so forth. So we're a ways from it being that end-all weapon. But it certainly sets the road to it. It certainly creates the opportunity that something like that could happen down the road if we were isolated from world opinion in one way or another.
A very worrying development. And Kevin Freeman, this is why I think the work you do at Global Economic Warfare Blog, and of course with your upcoming show, will be of such importance. Kevin, let me ask you about one other asymmetric warfare capability, perhaps rather than strictly speaking an economic one. But you've written about the National Association of Scholars report about these Confucius Institutes that the Chinese have been placing on American campuses. Give us a bit of a flavor from your perspective, having studied closely what the Chinese have been doing in the nature of what they call unrestricted warfare, going back to the publication of a book by that name in 1999. What are these Confucius Institutes as you see it, and how do they fit into this kind of asymmetric warfare the Chinese seem to be waging against us?
Well, they seem to be. They appear to be patterned after something the Nazis did in the 1930s that, you know, it was denied at the time, but every reasonable scholar, including Dr. Stephen Norwood from the University of Oklahoma, has studied and said, yes, the Nazis infiltrated American universities, and they did it by setting up German studies programs. The Confucius Institutes seem to be following along that same pattern, where they go into a college or university and offer to put scholars there as long as the scholars agree to abide by Chinese law and the university agrees to abide by Chinese law in reference to them, and they won't put out anything negative about China. So they are controlling the dialogue, which means they're controlling the learning taking place, who China is, what China is intending to do, and so forth. It is a form of information warfare, and they're doing it with, you know, in large part, our their money coming in, but it's manipulating our tax dollars. The largest investment the United States government has, financial investment, is in student loans to the tune of trillions of dollars. So we're watching as they're manipulating our open university system to literally put out a pro-China policy.
And when you talk about the student loans business, are we actually paying the Chinese to come here? I thought they were paying us to open our universities to their students and, as a result, have essentially hooked the universities on that funding stream. They're paying full fare, these foreign students, at least in most cases. Is that not correct?
That is correct, but what they're doing is they're manipulating the university system that we're putting trillions of dollars into the university system. In other words, they're the tiny rudder that's steering the whole ship. We're putting the majority money in the universities, and they're putting a little bit, but they're controlling the direction of the ship.
Especially when it comes to our understanding about China and presumably the attitudes of many of our students towards the Chinese. This is a critically important sort of political warfare instrument, I guess you might say. And Kevin, again, thank you for calling it to our attention. Kevin, we have to leave it at that for the moment. Thank you so much for joining us each week and for the great work you do in so many capacities, and we're looking forward to your coming program on the Blaze Network. Watch for it, folks. I hope you'll, in the meantime, be listening for us tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.